Pelicans and Trailblazers tonight, game number two. Got a handful of games going on as well the rest of the week as two games last night and two games tonight. So we'll go over that and the rest of the NBA playoff storylines to talk about. As we said, Pels and Trailblazers. Especially if you like Jazz Fest. Just saying.
At least this segment.
At least this segment. I would be listening. Don't try to jump the gun. You got to wait.
No. Exactly. A few more minutes.
NFL news that we touched on a little bit earlier in the show. Dez Bryant telling 247sports.com Giants' his preference where he would like to play. The article talked about the Packers. Too much history there. Don't want to play there. He'd think it'd be fun to play for the Rams. Texans he'd be in on. Jags he thinks could be a match. Patriots, why not? 49ers, interested in Garoppolo and the young offense, and Shanahan as the coach. The Raiders, he likes the quarterback. Jets, maybe. Saints, 24/7 Sports says, a month ago, if they would have approached New Orleans with the trade, it could have happened. But right now, it might be a little more difficult. And Brian Enola East is all on board for Dez. 2.0 New Orleans.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Okay. I just lied.
No.
You don't even want to give it like a just, what if he says he comes here, plays 1 year, $2 million?
What if he says he'd pay me $2 million just to come play here? The answer's still no.
You wouldn't take his money to let him play here?
No.
Okay. The Buccaneers have done a championship move.
Yeah, decided that they were going to pick up that fifth-year option on quarterback Jameis Winston. Screwed move on their part. They get to see one more year whether or not he's the guy that they all thought he would be or not. I think they're going to wind up paying him an extension next year anyway because, I mean, it's the Bucs. Who else they're going to get at quarterback?
Again, when he was healthy towards the end of last year, the Bucs played well and they could win.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to do everything they can to make him successful. They've given him all kinds of weapons. There's talk of them possibly trying to go get Saquon Barkley to run the ball for him because they have no running backs right now. And, of course, they added DeSean Jackson. They still have Mike Evans over there. They gave him a big contract. They have the tight end from Alabama, O.J. Howard, going into his second year. So they're trying to give him weapons. The problem is, can Jameis actually put it all together and become more mature and lead the team besides eating W's?
You don't sound like a big supporter.
Never.
Considering I thought you were first mate on the Jolly Roger. I
mean, why would I ever do that?
You're a Bucks fan.
Shiver me timberless, Gus. I don't know what your problem is.
Exactly. Brett Favre failed his Monday Night Football screen test. We were just talking about that last segment. Who is your favorite ESPN analyst? I'll throw that out there to anybody who wants to chime in at ESPN Radio NOLA. Honestly, who is your favorite NFL analyst?
I don't think he's on ESPN, that's for sure.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Who is your favorite ESPN NFL analyst? First off, it needs to be able to come off your...
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem.
I honestly don't have, like, where I'm like, I got to find sound from him or I got to hear. I honestly do not have an ESPN NFL favorite analyst.
No, there's only one commentator that I even enjoy at this point, and that's Romo.
That's on TV. We love Mike Triplett. Let me say that.
Absolutely. You know, want to make sure we put that out there. We love you, Mike.
Yeah, we love you, Mike. But right, seriously, I mean, that's part of the problem. Like, I guess I like Steve Young. They don't use him enough.
See, I don't mind Steve Young, but he does have this aura of, I'm the smartest man in the room, and let me show you how.
He's good.
He's very good. But
he's smart.
He is, but he just comes
that
across.
That sounds like a me problem.
He comes across as a little
saying,
too. It's not even the arrogance. It's just a little too.
Well, how is he arrogant? Now he's arrogant?
He does.
This is totally a Brian issue.
He does have a little bit of arrogance to what he says. But, I mean,
what?
It's just the idea that,
how can you be arrogant if he says, if the question is, should this guy play or not and how good he is, and he gives you an answer? How's that arrogant?
Here's an easy way to do it.
Uh-huh.
Steve Young could say the word wealth, but he doesn't. He'll tell you how opulent a guy is. Who the hell cares how up? It's the same word. Duke is a small one.
So, in other words, because his vocabulary is better than most people, he's arrogant.
Guess what most people like to do? Sit in front of a TV, drink a few, and watch the game. We don't want to have to go use a glossary or a dictionary when we're watching it.
Okay. Man, I can't think of somebody.
Exactly.
I'm still trying to think of who is it that I want to watch tonight, like today. Like something big happens in the NFL. A strike or something or a player. Brady's... Who do I need to hear from immediately? Like, Screamin' A.
Yeah.
is the guy ESPN goes to
basketball.
Get an opinion.
Yeah.
Not just hoops, but like to get the guy that goes off.
Yeah,
that goes off,
over.
Right? Like, you need an opinion. We get Screaming A is on with us at SportsCenter.
Yeah.
They talk about it.
Yeah.
Who's the NFL guy?
I don't. You know who used to be? Trent Dilfer. I used to enjoy Dilfer because I always thought he.
Yeah, what happened to him?
They pretty much told him he can.
Yeah, Dilfer won that.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm getting. Like right now, big deal. Aaron Rodgers tells the Packers, I want to be traded. Let's say that just came out.
Yeah.
I guess it's Schefter.
Schefter, yeah.
Because he broke the news. But I'm talking about who's the analyst.
Nobody.
Like the player, I guess, the former player. Let me go there.
No, I don't want to hear from any of those guys.
It's Schefter right now.
That's pretty. But he's the one, as you said, he's the one that's going to break the news and tell you what happened. But for somebody to break down and tell me why Aaron Rodgers feels the way that he feels.
Right. Who is it?
I don't have that guy. I can't tell you.
You realize how big a statement that is?
Yeah.
For ESPN and all the money they have in the apartment. They have people. I thought Herm Edwards was probably their guy that they had because he was opinionated.
Yeah.
He was vocal. He was.
Yeah, but no longer.
That's what I'm trying to. You know who might actually be pretty decent in that role? At some point in time.
Give me a hint.
Because when he opens up, he's not that bad. He's very knowledgeable. He's shown some personality at times. I think Sean Payton could do TV.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily. He'd be much better than Belichick. Much better than Belichick.
Yeah. They thought Rex Ryan was going to be okay.
No.
That's unwatchable.
No. Rex and Rob both are just, no. They added nothing to it, and I think they brought him on because of that personality.
Right now, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Breaking news, Adam Schefter's learned Aaron Rodgers is fed up with the Packers demanding a trade. He will not play this year. Who they're calling? Who is leading SportsCenter at 5? It's Schefter who did the report,
yeah.
And then they turn to the next anchor and goes, with analysis of that, who is it? They're trotting out Polian?
Oh, goodness, please.
No, but that's what I'm getting at. Like, who are they trotting out? Who's the player? Saturday? I mean, I'm just...
They don't have him.
Yeah, who's the guy that's... I guess it's Young, dude. They're going FaceTime with Steve Young.
But also, he's a QB, so it kind of helps.
That's what I'm talking about. First off, they don't have any mini QBs.
No. There's nobody who I want to hear from. Like, no.
I'm
nobody.
Being honest. I'm going to the NFL Network.
Yeah, pretty
I'm going
much.
To the NFL Network.
Give me Michael Irvin. Give me somebody.
Sanders will say something ridiculous.
Yeah, but
Warner will be there. But that's what I'm saying. I'm probably going to the NFL Network.
Yeah. And that's why their problem on Monday Night Football is they have nobody that.
What will be interesting is to see what Fox does. Because Fox is going to have the Thursday night game. So they're going to have a pregame. They're going to have a postgame crew and all that stuff. So that'll be interesting to see. Because, again, that Fox crew's another.
Here's the problem. Not only are they competing with Fox, CBS, NFL Network, even NBC to a large degree,
right.
They're also competing with TNT. Because when you watch that compared to what they do over
inside the NBA on TNT, that crew is
you can't.
It's so far. But what makes them dynamic and what makes them good?
It's the chemistry that they have. It's the personalities. It's the analysis. And most importantly, it reminds me of this very show. They have fun with what they're doing. Everybody else just seems stiff. Like, we're just going to tell you to announce. We'll try to come off as a
part of the problem as well is ESPN has players. They don't want to rub other players the wrong way.
That's
they're
true.
Afraid to talk about other players. They're afraid to go back at them or even coaching or the league. I can describe why I think personally why the crew on TNT is who they are.
Opinionated. They don't care.
Real.
Yes. They don't care. They're just, they are who they are.
I can put 15 things under the word real.
Yes.
If you play well, they give you props.
Yeah.
If you don't, they'll call you a bum. They will go after one another.
Yes.
And it gets real.
Yes.
I mean, there have been times where I think Shaq literally wanted to hit Charles Barkley.
Yes.
And I think there's times that Charles Barkley goes, dude, when the cameras go off,
I'm going to smack you in your face.
And I think
right.
They have had words off air.
Oh, no question.
I think during commercial breaks. I think Kenny Smith has a very good way to give you the game and give you analysis.
Yes.
And also play cop to both of those guys, Shaq and then. I think Ernie Johnson is fantastic.
Phenomenal.
At sometimes just shutting up.
And letting them do them.
And sometimes just throwing a word out, going out of break. And at other times, he can get very deep anymore. It's real.
Amazing.
It's real. Shaq will tell you. Let me tell you something. There was one game, and he'll give you a story.
Yes.
And then Barkley will be real.
Yeah.
But I just think. And it translated, and it transcended, actually, to their college basketball coverage. I thought they were really good.
They were really good. They got better.
That's what I'm getting at. ESPN does not have that.
No.
Like, they don't.
But you can tell how scripted ESPN is sometimes because you can always tell what happens. Let's say former player, I don't know, gets cut right now. I think Broncos just released running back C.J. Anderson, right? He gets a job at ESPN. The first thing he does is says something controversial to spark interest so everybody can know he's on TV now. That's not real. We all see the script coming.
Bokaj on Twitter just said, the Stu Gotts count. Let me tell you something that's real interesting about that. Their contract's up right now, just
yes.
like what they
yes.
said.
Right.
Right.
They might be going
said,
to satellite
week,
radio. Right.
You know, is coming up. And there's a lot of people that believe that ESPN's going to have to pay a premium because of that. A couple of articles have come out just in the last week.
Yes.
Declaring they're the best show on radio and all of this other stuff because they don't talk a lot about sports.
No, they do everything.
And everything but.
Yeah.
And you're right. The big contest is going to be SiriusXM NFL Radio.
Yes.
Because they can pay hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes.
And like Howard Stern. Now, does it work? I don't know. The point is, to that, too, what is one of the principal characters on that show?
It's Stu Gotts.
And he's on everything. He's on Bullock and Wingo. He has this thing on this weekend on Sunday. It's not a sports guy. That's why I asked you last segment. Could the Monday Night Football analyst be a non-player or, again, a three-man booth where you have that former player that sort of gives you the player perspective, but most of that analysis comes from somebody that doesn't play the game?
I don't know. I think it's going to have to depend on whom that person – like, if Stu Gotts is the guy.
Bokaj also said, not to interrupt you, Louis Riddick.
Louis Riddick is pretty good as
and
well.
And he's openly said,
yes.
I want the job.
Yes, he's really – he's
pretty openly
good as well.
Tweeted, give me a chance.
I think he's
– But that's why I'm asking, because ESPN right now with his former players doesn't have anybody right now to me where I go, oh, my gosh, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, I'm done. I want to be a Falcon. What? I need to go
– Yes.
Oh, who am I – Who's going to go nuts?
You know what?
Who's going to go nuts?
I don't think they use Louis Riddick for one reason. He doesn't always toe the company line. If the company line says Josh Allen should be the guy everyone talks about to be the number one draft pick, Louis Riddick will be like, are you guys serious? Did you watch the film on him? Like, he doesn't do this. He doesn't do it. And I don't think they like that about certain people. It almost reminds me of not on the same level, but maybe like a Jamil Hill and a Michael Smith in the idea that they don't always toe the company line and it gets them in trouble a lot.
I liked it when that show first started.
Yeah, the his and hers thing that
it
they
was
did.
Different.
That was good.
Well, I'm talking about even when it took over the FC6. Yeah. I liked it when they first started.
Yeah.
I honestly did. I mean, it was a little different. You know, I kind of liked the difference. There was a little different take on it.
Yeah.
But again, I think they have a real problem.
I honestly do. But it's not just with their Monday Night Football programming.
No.
It's all across the board.
It's their analysts right now. Yeah. And again, that's the thing, though. You've got to find guys that can do that and are willing to do that. The NFL, as we go to break, by the way, has induced Deuce McAllister.
Oh.
He won. The NFL had the broadcaster's boot camp.
Yeah.
I want to say last week. And he tweeted from it. The NFL now is helping former players become better broadcasters, and they're doing things of that nature. So
that.
It's not easy. I know everyone listening thinks that you can just put on a mic and go do that. How can you get your opinions across? You got to do it much shorter in television.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Look, last year was my first year hosting a TV show. You know, I was hosting
Arkansas Game Day.
It's different. There's a lot more people in there. You have the lights. You have it. It's time. You have to know. You have to be able to ad lib and sort of know you're looking at a camera. You're looking at this. It takes time. It does. And when you find the natural, I think Booger's really good.
He is.
But they just moved him to that Goldberg or Greenberg show.
The Greenberg TV show thing.
Yeah, which they spent like $14 million on.
And it's awful.
Set. So. But again, that almost seems like with Jalen, it's just they're trying to create chemistry there. It's either there or it's not.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is when you look at that Monday night crew, you know, I don't know. What is it you want from your analysts? What is it that makes it comfortable? You know? Again, that's why Romo was such a success last year. He was different.
Yeah.
He didn't fit the mold. He told you what was coming. I'd be like, wait, you know what the play is? And all of a sudden you start going, why haven't everyone else been telling me this? I like knowing this.
Yes.
This is great. This is a screen. Oh, there's the screen. There it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I like when they go to the line and go, this is a sack. I mean, here it comes. And it happens.
Yes.
And Nance learned how to work with that. I mean, he audibled on the fly.
Oh, yeah, who's another good one?
No, but that's what I'm getting at. It's like it was fun to hear from that perspective. I'll tell you what. I if you're going to go the route with the analyst you got now, I open up the checkbook.
You better buy somebody.
I get Gus Johnson from Fox and make him my Monday Night Football guy.
You better do somebody.
Because Gus Johnson will make the littlest play into a big deal, and he gives me the energy and everything. Why not? I bring Gus Johnson over.
But is it too much with Gus Johnson?
I like that. I like him.
He called UEFA Champions League, I believe, a couple years ago. Didn't work out.
Well, again, he was one of the guys at Fox had, you know, trying it out, but Fox failed horribly at soccer coverage again. I think it's soccer is very specific. You need soccer people.
Yeah.
I think you need people that call soccer
also,
for a living. Like, I'd like to think I did, and I did one game last year for Cox Sports, and, I mean, look, I called what I saw, but it, you know, if you don't follow, eat, breathe, and sleep that sport, that's a very specific sport to call.
It was very, for him, it was difficult because not every shot is going to be on goal, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
And he would overdo it on every single one.
Why are soccer analysts so great at what they do? Soccer analysts that are on the Spanish network are so great what they do because they tell a narrative. They're telling a story. Why the soccer match is going on. So while the ball is being dribbled into on the far side and they give it to Pepito. Speaking of Pepito, who's, you know, I don't know, you know, he's 20 years old and stuff. This is the best match he's ever been in. He's been in shape. There's another pastor, Brian, his friend Brian. They live together. I mean, they're talking about the players and the story.
And when they score a goal, they're praising the player. They're hyping up the player.
Exactly right.
Talking about the
goal. You cannot call soccer like you would call another sport. Like Al Michaels, you can't do it.
Yeah.
You have to have a soccer-specific, like Sirian and Drake.
Yeah, he was
fantastic.
Ian Dark. Ian Dark is fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. But when you hear him call, it's a perfect, thing.
Yeah, Gus Johnson was just a little too overboard.
You're used to calling football, baseball.
Yeah.
It's just different. Like, I'll tell you, I love to call it. It's work. It's hard. It's not easy. Sports Hangover continues. After this break, we come back. It's time to delve in deep into the Pels and Trailblazers game two. Let's focus on this. Let's look at the NBA playoffs as well. You got some great storylines in it. And believe me, ESPN, one of them, they're trying to get you. They're convinced. There's only one storyline going on right now in the NBA. We'll tell you about that when we come back on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Welcome back. Sports Hangover. 800-998-1003. What do you feel about tonight's game? Trailblazers taking on the Pelicans. As tonight should be fun. Alvin Gentry, Fletcher Mackel from Channel 6 interviewing him about the game tonight. And really, Brian, I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of effort and energy they'll have today.
Well, I think you got to look at both sides of it. I think we'll give the same amount of effort. I don't have any doubt about that. You're talking about two great players that was, average almost 50 points between them for the season. So, obviously, they're not going to shoot 13 for 41 for the series. But we still have to try to do as much as we can to try to make them very difficult to earn those points. And, they may shoot it a little better. We just got to be there, and we got to challenge the shots.
And just final question here. I appreciate the hugs. Is it because I've been so negative to you, you feel like you're helping me get over some, like, anger issues I must have?
Fletch, all I know is that we're going to convert you. You're going to be the biggest Pelican fan that there ever was, okay? We're going to stay on top of you, and you're going to see. And
all right, well, I'll give you a hug on the way out here, okay?
All right.
Because I have not always been the kindest to you. So
well,
I appreciate
okay.
you always
hey,
being
listen,
nice.
Everybody have opinions, you know. Like I said, I'll accept anybody's opinion when it becomes factual. Just make sure it's factual, and I'm fine.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so very much. Good luck in game two. We appreciate it.
And we talked about this last week, and again, that's Fletcher Mackel from Channel 6. You can see that story coming up tonight before the game. I think one of the things that you have to be proud of is the way Alvin Gentry has handled this season.
Yes.
The guy
his
gets
tenure.
Booed.
His tenure.
Yeah, he gets booed, let's be honest, pretty much every home game. I don't know recently. I think you're
recently
in a little
mood. Recently a lot better.
But every game it's just the head coach of your New Orleans Pelicans. Ooh, boo. You have a boo sound. Give me the boo sound. That's exactly what it sounds like. It's terrible. But, you know, and again, I've always said this. Yeah, there you go right there. If you feel that way and you boo, you at least have an opinion and you care.
Yes.
For you to boo, you're unhappy. For you to be unhappy, you give a bleep.
Yes.
I'll take somebody caring about the team as opposed to nobody caring about the team. And I think that's what he's been able to kind of compartmentalize and understand. If I'm being booed, it's because they're unhappy. They want to win. I'll take a fan base that's booing me, then I got no reaction and we're losing.
Yes.
Because when that happens, it's apathy.
Unbothered is the worst emotion, man. It's just if somebody just doesn't care. I'd much rather, you know, be yelled at or praised than to just be ignored.
All right, to the first bite that they used there, and he was talking about the right amount of energy, and he thinks they're going to have the same kind of energy. And he also thinks, Alvin Gentry, that the backcourt of C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard are going to shoot a lot better. I do as well. What are they, 3-for-13 or something in the first half?
Yeah.
They got off in the second half. I threw it out there and floated. Adjustments in every game. You're going to have them. Should the Pels adjust tonight? Tonight.
What was that?
It was today and tonight mixed together. Tonight. Yeah, I took your mic off because I have the laptop.
Anyway. You're number one.
So I know, apparently. Thank you for that. Do you see what I deal with? I'm just trying to do my show, and this is what he does. That's what he does to me.
You insulted the man.
I didn't insult him.
You just yell from behind your microphone.
You yell at me all you want. So here's the thing. Do you just let Damian Lillard go off and you shut down everybody else? Kind of throw a little wrench at him. Because they've been preparing for you to do what you did last time.
Yeah.
Kind of come out that pick and rolls, throw a couple of bigs over on the three-point arc, then back away, things that nature, make the shots difficult. AD took Damian Lillard on a lot in that fourth quarter when Portland was making their run. And he played great on him. My thing is this. Damian Lillard himself said, they have got to drive to the basket more. They have got to get to the free throw line. And we are going to force the issue to have the referees blow the whistle because he and McCollum combined 3 free throw attempts. So the last thing I need is AD, Drew, or Miritich getting into foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to drive on him. And all it takes is change of direction on the drive and the dribble, and it's into the body, and there's a whistle, and then it's a foul. So, Damian, you want 50-51 tonight? Enjoy it. McCollum, not getting 10. Nurkic, not getting 10. Aminu, we're going to remind you of the bum you were when you were here in New Orleans. I mean, I just, like, that's how I would do it. I would defend those guys like they can beat me. If Damian Lillard wants to go off of 50 points, go off of 50 points tonight.
I'm with you all the way. This would be the headline for tomorrow's newspaper. It'd be Portland's Damian Lillard goes off and has historic night and loss. Because that's what you can have as many points as you want. But I'm not going to let C.J. McCollum, I'm not going to let Al-Farouq Aminu, I'm not going to let Jurkic. None of you guys are going to score. So you're going to be really, really happy that Dame scored all those points, and you're going to be really, really mad that you didn't get the ball in your hands.
Yeah. Drew Holiday, C.J. McCollum, enjoy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
have
serious.
Fun with him. Yeah. You know, just lock him down. AD, do what you do against Jurkic. And the rest of you guys, just stay out there. If Dame wants to score all day long, we'll put our worst defender on him.
Yeah.
And let him go.
Do it. And
have fun.
And the other thing I will do, Etuan Moore, go follow him. And again, I'm not ripping him. Just guard him to guard him. Maybe you can get a stop. Maybe he doesn't make a lot of those shots. But I'm guarding passing lanes. I'm doing all those other things for him. And I'm letting it be known, hey, go. You want to launch a three. Knock it out. And on the offensive end, in the first quarter at the very least, again, you don't want to go away from what you're doing well, which is the Pels are good at pace. They knock down threes. I mean, that's what they do. But in that first quarter, you know the energy is going to be up there.
Yeah.
You know they're going to come out and try to be more energetic because, again, that was something that was asked of Damian Lillard after Saturday's game about the lack of energy perceived by, some media people. And, that could have been part of the issue. This is Lillard on how the mistakes that they made he thought were key. Because, again, I'm saying he was disrespecting the Pels. But they absolutely felt in Portland that they lost that game.
Yeah.
Not that New Orleans won it.
Delusional, but okay.
Well, again, I'm just saying that's kind of what I figured. And that's what I heard.
I don't know if we need to change something defensively. Obviously, you'll make your adjustments. But, we only gave up 95 points. And, we guarded hard. I thought we played a pretty physical game. I just think we got to be better in situations. We had a situation where somebody made a play on the ball ball get tipped to the corner and I overhelp in the corner and leave a shooter open and he makes a three when we down three. You know, I think just those situations, we got to be much better. Blow a coverage late in the game and Rondo goes baseline and gets a layup, you know, when we need a stop. So I just think in those certain spots in the game, we got to be sharper. You know, mentally we got to be better. But I didn't think we had a bad defensive game. You know, they didn't get over 100 points, so I think it's more situational. You know, there's certain spots in the game we got to be good.
Who has the most pressure tonight?
Portland. It's Portland. The Pels did their part. They no matter what happens, they at least leave with a split. It's on Portland. You go down 0-2, you miss all over but the crying because you're not going to come to New Orleans and win two straight. You're not going to do that. Not against this Pelicans team.
Yeah, win 4-6. Four or five.
Yeah, nice. But you ain't doing it this time around because it's not the same Pelicans team. This is not the same team that we saw earlier. It's not the team that allowed them to kind of get up. This team, as you said earlier, they're not just poised. They're resilient. You make a run on them. It used to be – it reminds me a little bit of Golden State. Make a run on the Pelicans. Okay, cool. We'll sustain it. And then we're going to make a run of our own. Pelicans weren't doing that early in the year. Heck, they weren't even doing it, you know, towards the All-Star break.
Right.
But after that, they kind of found something, and they went with it. Maybe it's that hockey lineup that Alvin Gentry went with, whatever it is. But you can't go down 0-2 to this Pelicans team.
Damian Lillard on who has the most pressure as we go into break.
As long as you're starting now, then.
How much pressure does that put on you guys?
I mean, I think it puts some pressure on us. You know, you come in with home court the first two games on your floor, and you lose the first one, and now they say, they lock a room. We got one. You know, why not go get another one? And our job is to defend the home court, so it's one game at a time. You know, we can't let a nice loss go into the next game. We got to, you know, tighten up, come back sharper, and take care of home floor next game.
Hopefully it will be a fourth quarter game. I believe so as well. We've made you wait long enough, Brian, at least, don't you think?
Yeah, I got my numbers on my phone for some strange reason.
You cannot call right now, but others can, especially if you want to go see. That is the montage of Jazz Fest. Folks, the lines have lit up already. Todd, enjoy that. If you did not win, since a winner's probably already been taken, we'll give away a pair tomorrow. We'll give away a pair Thursday. And we'll give away a pair Friday of Jazz Fest tickets. I'll do this tomorrow, first hour. Tomorrow will be first hour. We'll do that. Sorry, Brian. See, you were on the air. You couldn't call. Although the phone's in your hands. Give me that phone.
It may or may not be ringing right now.
When we come back, we'll take a look at the rest of the NBA playoff picture as well and get your takes. Pels and Trailblazers tonight. 97-95 was game one. Will it be that close? I hope not for the Pels team. They were up 19. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. And Mr. Tim Grubbs, the voice of your New Orleans baby cakes, back home. All the way until next Monday, Colorado Springs and Oklahoma City, the two teams they'll be facing. Mr. Tim Grubbs, you just faced those teams, and things didn't go so well.
No, things didn't go well at all. We got off the plane this morning, and I was so happy to be at home. I don't remember ever being this happy to be at home. Two really good teams, but we had our shots against both of them. We lost in our final at bat. Not once, not twice, but four times over the last 7 days. So, not only, you know, I mean, it makes you feel comfortable that, you know, you never feel comfortable about losing those ball games, but the fact that you were fighting with them until the bitter end, you know, maybe being at home changes things up a little bit. We did play really well at home last weekend when we took 4 out of 5 against Nashville. So, we're the only team in the league without a road win, so that's kind of a painful pill to swallow.
Well, it's early, Tim. That's what I keep getting told when it comes to the Cubs, which we'll get to in a little bit. But, so you got 4 against Colorado Springs and Oklahoma City over the weekend. You mentioned losing those 4 games in the final bat. Is it a play? I know the graph always says it as well. It probably should never come down to that last play. Were the other moments in that game where maybe base runners left on or – you know, a couple of walks turn into bigger innings, things of that nature, where maybe the Cakes could have gotten wins early?
Absolutely. Clutch hitting is what we're really lacking. I mean, there was a game on Sunday. We were leading 2-0. We had held them to 5 hits. We had 12 hits. We had left 10 men on base. We were 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. You know, that's one game that you sit there and you're like, it shouldn't have been 2-0. It should have been 5-0. Or, you know what I mean? We should have had a lot more runs and had a little bit more insurance and a little bit more comfortable. Some of the other games, there's always a hit that you could have had when you look back on it. I tell you, you know, you and I 2 weeks ago talked about the new extra inning rules. We've been to extra innings twice. There's been 4 at-bats, you know, for 2 for us, 2 for them. There's been runs in all of them. So I'm telling you, the new rules, I don't know necessarily will speed the games up, but there's going to be runs. It's chaos when you get to the extra innings. Both times we scored, we were on the road team. Both times we went to extra innings, we scored immediately, put that runner at second base. First hit, first guy up at plate, it drove the runner in immediately. Then we left 2 men on both times with nobody out. Just couldn't get the big hit. And in the bottom of the inning, they scored immediately and put another run on the board in both situations. And ultimately, you know, that's a walk-off and you lose that way. So these new extra inning rules are definitely weird. I think it makes the closer feel weird coming out in a clean inning and there's a runner standing at second base. And I think they pitch a little bit differently.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be a little more careful and you really can't really get into the flow of the game. So we'll see if that ever makes it to Major League Baseball. So you like it or you don't so far?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're feeling pretty good. I mean, we had a couple injuries. We actually, I got some news to break for you here today.
Sure.
We had an injury that went down last night. Peter Mooney, you know, a tough injury. He's going to be out a few weeks. Hopefully he'll be back soon. He's our shortstop, middle infield guy. But Johnny Giavitella, who played here at UNO, played mm-hmm. at Jesuit, he went to spring training with us, and he was banged up a little bit in spring training. Well, he'll join the ball club today. So, you know, that's always great to have a local kid on the team. You know, he's got his family has that Gio's Pizza right around the corner from here. So hopefully that'll put some people in the seats. And he's been a good hitter, guy that helped Kansas City win the World Series a few years ago. And, you know, he's trying to get back to the big leagues with the Marlins.
All right, you got in the AL, Boston still on top of the East at 13-2, 9-1 in their last 10, and 1-4 straight. Jays right there in second. In the Central, just the Twins, you got a kind of log jam sort of there. Kansas City struggling so far in the West. The Angels really seem to be a story right now. Not that Houston's doing bad, but 4-6 in their last 10. They're 10-7 overall, and the Angels 13-3. Thoughts on the AL?
Well, you know, the Astros, you got to see this coming. Everybody was like, I can't see with the addition of Gerrit Cole, this team losing. But, you know, you saw it last year with the Cubs. And, you know, the Cubs have the identical record this year that they had last year. And there is such thing as a World Series hangover, and it happens every year. Obviously, the Cubs bounced out of it, you know, and made the playoffs and won the division. And the Astros are going to do the same thing. So that's what you're dealing with Houston. You know, I mean, you play that deep in the year, you're going to have some tired arms, you're going to have some tired players, and once you get through the initial adrenaline of opening day and the start of real play, I think, you know, they got off to a good start. But once it gets into the grind of baseball, a lot of times, you know, the tiredness or fatigue kicks in. How about Shohei Ohtani? I mean, we're going to probably be talking about this guy all year. You know, this isn't just a little fad. I mean, he's exciting, and I think it's really brought some drama. I think he pitches tonight for the Angels, which it's adds some excitement. And, you know, we haven't had a player like this in a few years that you circle your you know, it's appointment television to watch him or to keep an eye on what's going on.
No doubt. I mean, that is definitely a story so far this season. In the NL, the Mets, man, still up there, 12-3. Your Pirates, 6-4 in the last 10, 11-5. The Dirty Cardinals are above the Cubs by 2 games there. In the West, the D-backs, 11-4. Colorado, 10 wins. Kind of seems like last year, right, those two teams?
Yeah, it seems like last year. I mean, of course, the Dodgers are a little bit of a story. I mean, I think they may have some of the same issues Houston does with a little bit of the World Series hangover. The Dodgers are off to a struggling start, but I think the West has some teams. I mean, I know I think I told you when we spoke initially before the season, I thought maybe the Central had enough to overpower the West, but maybe not. You know, I mean, I think the Cubs, obviously, and the Cardinals, I think, are going to be good, and the Brewers are going to be really good. Obviously, the Pirates are the surprise there, and the Mets are a shock. The Nationals are struggling coming out, and I think they'll be fine. And I'm really surprised, you know, that the Mets have been able to maintain this. But, you know, this is a team that went to the World Series a few years ago, and they've had nothing but arm problems and injuries ever since with their rotation. And, you know, they got the Indians pitching coach, Mickey Callaway, as their manager, a guy that knows how to manage arms. And I think that's been the big difference with the Mets. And, you know, it's been more than just a one-week thing. So let's see if they can sustain it. They lost last night, got tripped up by the Nats. But I think that's a really good story. And if the Mets can stay healthy, they could cause some havoc here in Major League Baseball, especially in the NL East.
That's Tim Grubbs each and every Tuesday. We talk Cakes baseball and also top storylines in the majors. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
All right, Gus, we're home all week.
Yep, I know. You're there for a while. So seven straight over at the Shrine on Airline. Go check them out. And you got perfect baseball weather for this evening. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Yep, for sure. When we come back, Daniel Salerson live from Portland. Shoot around just ended. Got a brief window to get him in, so I'll shut up and we'll bring him back next on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. 9:30 tonight, Pals and Trailblazers. Gus Katnigo, Brian Ola, East Pepito. Welcoming Daniel Salerson, fresh from Pels Shootaround. Daniel, how is it over there in Portland today?
It is cold and rainy. Aren't you surprised by that, Gus?
No, not at all. I need to know the most important bit of news, though, coming from Shootaround. You ready?
Yeah.
Is Nikola Mirotic going to shave? Apparently AD and Drew are worried.
Yes. Well, because Nikola forgot his machine to shave his beard, and so, but no fear, Charles Cook has been sent to the pharmacy to purchase another one, so Mirotic will be clean-shaven for tonight's game. So no worries. We'll be good to go for tonight.
I love the fact that this is actually a story and that they're doing it. Because I guess, Daniel, what I'm trying to convey to the fans and the people listening, this sounds like a relaxed team. I saw some people tweeting that yesterday during the media session with Anthony Davis. You're with the team. You're seeing them. This doesn't seem like a team that's tight right now.
No, they're very cohesive right now. They do things off the court. When we got here on Thursday, the first thing the players did wasn't a player meeting or everything, but they all went out to dinner together as a team. It's been great for them as far as the cohesion. I think that's helped on the court as well. These guys like each other. They get along with each other. You know, the whole beard thing, that they wouldn't let Mirotic in the locker room if he didn't shave his beard. So it's just all these things that are going on with them. It's part of the reason why they're clicking right now, because this team plays for each other on the court and likes hanging out with each other off.
All right, let's get into the game here a little bit, but I quickly go to Saturday. You were there. How loud was that place, and how impressed was the poise this team showed in the final minutes of the game to win?
It was super loud at the very beginning. Of course, they did a great job with their open, with the wristbands lighting up and the black T-shirts and all that. For the first few minutes, it was very loud. But then, because the Pelicans took control after that, they got really quiet. So I thought that was a huge key for New Orleans to settle down a little bit, jump ahead, and quiet the crowd. And after that, it really didn't get that much louder until in the third quarter when the Blazers made their run. So I think the Pelicans got off to a great start, even after both teams kind of had an iffy start to the game, a little jitters, I think, for both teams. But after that, they took the crowd out of it, which I think was a huge turning point in the game.
All right, so you're looking at what a turning point could be in this one. Adjustments in the playoffs are always key. Damian Lillard, after the game, he brought it up. Only three free throw attempts between him and McCollum. And he said, hey, look, we got to make the officials blow the whistle. They had 12 to the Pels 10. So it wasn't like they didn't get calls, but I thought both teams could have gotten more calls. I thought it was fairly officiated. That said, Daniel, I'm expecting a Portland team, especially at the guard position, to come and try to drive to the Pels, maybe get some folks in some foul trouble.
Yeah, they need to be more aggressive, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, because the Pelicans did such a good job pressuring them that you were making other guys try to make you pay, Evan Turner and Pat Connaughton, and the Pelicans were just letting Evan Turner shoot open all day. That's something that the Pelicans would want to do, but you know that's not going to happen again. You know Lillard and McCollum are going to be out there being aggressive, trying to get to the free throw line, as you mentioned. And I think the Pelicans' biggest key tonight has got to be rebounding. That was something that offensive rebounds and second chance points killed New Orleans last game. It killed New Orleans in the last regular season game against Portland, and with a chance of Mo Harkless coming back, that's another rebounder for Portland, and that's got to be a point of emphasis tonight. That and limiting some of these live ball turnovers. The Portland Trailblazers had way too many transition baskets because of live ball turnovers, so The rebounding turnover is going to be a major key tonight. The Pelicans want to get two wins on the road here.
Daniel, how do you counter what the Portland Trailblazers are going to try to do defensively? Because, of course, they're going to try to keep AD out of the paint and probably put some more bodies on those outside shooters. So how do you counteract that and what the Pels want to do offensively to get going to kind of maybe take the steam out of that building a little bit early?
I think he's just not going to continue to be aggressive as far as Rajon Rondo making plays at the basket, Jrue Holiday being aggressive. That will eliminate, if you're going to focus more on Anthony Davis, one, Anthony Davis is going to make sure he's a better passer than sometimes he is on those double teams. But some of these shooters are going to have to make them pay. The Equan Moores, who struggled last game, Ian Clark had a nice game off the bench. It's going to be those other guys that really have to step up. And I think once if you do that, you should be okay. But I think the game plan for the Pelicans offensively here is sort of do normally what they do. Keep the pace going. Don't let it get to a half-court defense and really push the tempo against Portland.
Starting to get the game two butterflies. Daniel, ready to get this one going. We'll be tuning in tonight. You can listen to the game right here on ESPN New Orleans. Daniel Salerson, pregame, halftime, postgame, and part of the coverage in Portland, of course, for game two. Thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it.
No problem, bud. Talk to you soon.
Yep, for sure. I'm excited. Look, they got a shot. Somehow survive the first quarter. Get this game into a fourth quarter game, and I'll trust the Pels. What you got?
I'm with you, man. I think if they can just survive, not even just the first quarter, but that opening maybe 8 minutes of the first quarter, if they can, you know, avoid going down by, you know, maybe 15 points or so, that those double-digit deficits maybe don't come out flat. If they come out with the energy and effort that they need, I think they'll be fine. Just survive that opening part of the first quarter and go from there.
Three games tonight in the playoffs. Wiz at the Raptors. Toronto 2-0.
Yeah.
Okay. And Bucks and Celtics. Does Milwaukee take game two?
Yeah, they have to. You let one get away, you got to take this one.
That game was back and forth for sure. That's Brian Ola East. We had fun. Appreciate it. Each and every Tuesday, Shots Fired.
No worries, man. Thanks for having me.
Yep, for sure. And thanks to Tim Grubbs. Thanks to Daniel Salerson. And I guess, thank you, Pepito.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. You should be thanking me.
Yeah, well, you know.
Daily.
You should be thanking me every day.
All the time we got for Pepito. Matt Moscone, after further review, is up next. You've been listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Adios.